I didn't, you know. Anyway, that woman is now a very, very active member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what we do at our meeting. We bring people into service. My life has been different, you know. When I moved back to the mainland, I've never asked anyone to be my sponsor. I've always been appointed to them. And I was appointed to Mary Regan when I came back, and she was a big circuit speaker. And, you know, when I came back to California, I had not conceded to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. And I believe today, for me, for people like me, there's so many different barriers about conceding. You know, I can concede today, but I'm not too sure about tomorrow, you know. And I'm just going through the whole motion because nobody wants anything to do with me. And I keep going through the whole motions, and I got this Mary for my sponsor, and she's a big circuit speaker. She's going everywhere. And she told me, when she heard my story, you're going to put roots down here. You've been like a rolling stone your whole life. You've got to put your roots down and stay here in California. And you got to get commitments at your meeting. Your first commitment is my driver. And she was speaking everywhere, so I would drive Mary every place while she was speaking. And I met the Clancys and the Keith Carpenters and the Clint Hodges and all those wonderful people. And they got to know me, and I got to know them, and I thought I was somebody, somebody. And then she got a new sponsor, and I was replaced, you know? So I'm going to these meetings, and I'm just carrying on, just doing what I do. I got a little job. I never was supposed to be self-supporting through my own contributions. That was never in my plan, ever. And, you know, I got a job in this clinic working as a nurse, and I'm working away and just carrying on and going to these meetings, and I'm going to drive and Mary around, and my life is bad. I'm not really, really happy, but I'm pretending. I'm acting as if. That's what they told me to do, act as if. So I keep going to these meetings acting as if, and I get elected to be secretary of a meeting, and that's where I met Betty, and I'm just doing the deal. And then I'm about 9 years sober. I'm okay, a little bit dry, but not 100%, and I meet him, you know him, and I get to be in an AA relationship. And I get into an AA relationship. I don't really like this guy, but he kind of pursued me, and, you know, I liked being an AA couple. That's what I liked. I liked having someone to sit with in the meetings, and I liked having someone to go to coffee afterwards and someone to go play with on Sundays. I liked this. We were very, very comfortable in this AA relationship, and it was okay. I was very happy. And then all of a sudden things changed, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I found out later that there was this wealthy, short, rich blonde that showed up at one of his meetings, and off he went with her. And everybody in AA knew about it except me. I'm trying to figure out what is going on here. I can't figure it out. And I took him out into the park one day. I heard if you ever really have to do anything serious, don't bring it into a place. Bring it outside in the fresh air so it can dissipate into the fresh air. And I took him to the park and I said, what is going on with us? I just don't understand it. And I just knew it was so wrong that I broke up with him. I broke up with him. But I remember saying to him, I think you're going to be one of the best teachers of my life for some reason. And it's amazing how the truth claws its way to the surface when it's ready. And what this guy was put into my life for was for me to deal with my abandonment issues and my trust issues and my faith issues. And I was absolutely crazy. I was so done with AA. Everybody else knew about it. I felt betrayed. I felt like I couldn't trust anyone. And Len Wilder, who decided he was going to run my life a couple of years prior to that, wrapped me up and he sent me to Clancy. And I became one of the trudgets on the 405 going up to the Pacific Group every Wednesday night to Clancy's. And, you know, I'll tell you something, that man saved my life. I was so crazy, so hurt, so broken. I was so done with everything. I let go of just about everybody I sponsored. I changed all my meetings. I took up Taekwondo. I became a member of the Flying Samaritans. I just kept doing everything I could just not to be in his presence. And you know what happened? Clancy told me, if you do what I do, your problems will disappear through neglect. Just follow me and see what happens. And he taught me that most important thing, that structure and discipline is the most important thing we have. It's not what we think, it's not what we feel, it's not what we know, it's what we do. And he was absolutely right, because all my problems just seemed to disappear through neglect. And I paraded myself. I ran into Frank at that time, and he brought me to Seal Beach, like I said. And here I am just working my program, trying to do a thing. You know, like I said, another thing with me, you know, this is a progressive disease. You learn more about yourself as you go along. And there was one situation that was so painful, and it's clawed its way to the surface, and I just was just so just mismatched.